The corner of his mouth tilts up in a smirk, and a light hits his eyes. Yeah, we went out. But I'm not even listening anymore. I run my fingers over my thumb, itching to fist my hands, as my chest starts rising and falling with heavy breaths. I step out of the house and walk straight for him, only about an inch taller, but I make sure he knows it. His face falls when I don't stop, and he stumbles back to avoid me walking into him. Hey, he protests, but I keep going. I walk until he's forced backward, down the stairs, into the fucking grass. Alarm sets in his eyes. Jesus, what the hell? I step up to him and cross my arms over my chest. I don't normally throw my weight around a kid like you, but I want to make this clear. I bite out. You may have your own little posse of followers who are enamored of you or scared of you, but I pause for effect. Am not. I know who you are and what you like to do. Keep away from Jordan, and I'd really appreciate it if you'd fuck off around my son, too. I start walking into him again, forcing him off my lawn. Don't step foot on my property again, or I'll put you in a hole under some wet cement and make you part of the foundation of the next house I build, never to be seen again. Now take a hike. And I gesture with my chin for him to leave. What? Did I stutter? I cut him off. He's breathing hard, his Adam's apple bobbing up and down, and he digs into his pockets for his keys, I assume. Jesus, he says, and climbs into his car. But all I can see is red. I want to tear him apart. How can my son call that guy a friend? He took it upon himself to put his hands on her. He'll never even set his fucking eyes on her again if I have anything to say about it. I watch as he speeds out of the driveway and into the street, taking off as fast as he can. In a moment, any fear he might be feeling will turn to anger, and he'll talk himself into believing I'm not capable of the threat. And part of me hopes he tries his luck again just to give me an excuse. I glance over at Kramer's house, seeing all the lights on but no movement at the drapes, so hopefully she didn't see him come here. Walking back inside, I lock the door, but then think better of it and unlock it again. You know, just in case she's outside and he comes back and she needs to get into the house quickly or something. I roll my eyes, Jesus. Heading upstairs, I veer into the master bathroom and pull open the shower door, turning on the water. It quickly fills with steam, and I pull off my swim shorts and step in, closing the door. The hot water hits my skin like 1,000 needles, but it quickly follows with warmth that feels so good I'm almost lightheaded. Planting my hands on the wall, I dip my head under the spout, letting the water cascade down over the back of my head, my neck, and my back. What a clusterfuck. I can't get a hold of my kid, and when I can, he doesn't want to talk to me. And it certainly doesn't help the situation that I'm drooling over his latest girlfriend like I've never done for any other woman in my life. And even worse, now that she's single, I'm going to have every little asshole in town sniffing around my front door just dying to get his hands on her. I know I can't have her, but it still won't stop. The desire. I close my eyes, emptying my lungs and feeling her everywhere. Jordan, I whisper. My dick immediately swells, and I feel it growing hard at just the sound of her name. She kissed me back last night. She's attracted to me, too. Does she fantasize about me? I harden even more at the thought of her in bed, thinking about me, wanting me. I fist my cock, because it's aching so badly, but I stroke it on accident and I groan at how good it feels. She fills my head, and I swear I can smell her. She's so close. I stroke myself, giving in to the fantasy. I'm in bed, and it's pitch black in the room. A knock sounds on my door, and I stir, sitting up. Yeah, I say, bending one leg at the knee and resting an arm on it. Jordan pushes open the door, and I can only tell it's her by the glimpse of her golden hair. What's wrong? I say gently. I'm naked under the sheet, but she can't see anything. It's storming, she says, lingering at the doorframe. Can I sleep with you? Lightning flashes through the windows, lighting up her body, and I catch glimpses of her naked legs and sweet face. The water continues to pour over me, and my cock in my hand gets longer. Reality slips away as I dive, chasing the only thing I'll be able to have of her. Whatever's in my dreams. Come here, I whisper. She hurries over to the side of the bed, and I peel back the covers for her. Sliding in, she huddles close to me, and I put my arm around her, feeling her leg come over mine. My hands roam, and all I feel is bare tummy and thighs. She's barely wearing anything. Jordan, I pant. God, her skin is so soft, and she feels so good. I'm cold, she says, her breath caressing my jaw. Is this okay? My thigh sits between her legs, and I can feel the heat pouring out of her. I tuck her closer. Come here. I rub her thighs and hips up her back and keep her nose buried in my neck. Every inch of her is like an electric current to my dick. I stroke slower but hold it tighter like I imagine her. Is that better? I ask her. She nods, her lips inches from mine. Your mouth is even warmer, though, she tells me, feeling my breath on her. It's the warmest part of you. I fight to hide my smile. Who am I not to give my girl what she needs? Turning her over onto her back, I keep running my hands up and down her body, but I start hovering my mouth over her skin, too, breathing out hot breaths across her neck and through her black half-shirt, over her breasts and the hard nipples through the fabric calling to me. But I resist. I trail down her stomach, running my lips over her belly button, and for a moment my teeth come out, dying to take a piece of her in my mouth, but she moans. And I look up, seeing the mounds of her breasts peek out from under the bottom of her little shirt. Shower water spills over my face and streams off my chin, and I want this to be real. I want her in my fucking bed. Better? I ask her. She nods, her eyes still closed. Mm-hmm, she says. Can you keep doing it, though? I'm still cold. Hell yes. I take her thighs as I roll over onto my back, bringing her on top of me. Come here, baby. I can't have all of her, but I'll take this. I rub her thighs and slide my hands farther up her body, teasing her just under the shirt. She wears a black top and black panties, and I joke, I thought you liked pink. I can't see her smile, but I hear it in her voice. You want pink? She taunts, and then she pulls up her short shirt, settling it just above her beautiful breasts. She grazes the nipples, showing me where her pink is. I shoot up, wrap my arm around her waist, and take one in my mouth, tugging on it and then sucking it into my mouth. I feel the blood rushing to my cock, and I'm so close already, I open my mouth like I can actually feel her soft skin between my teeth. Jesus, I want to know how she really tastes. Warmer? I ask, knowing damn well her skin is hot now. I feel her nod, and now I have to stop this. I let it go on too long. Jordan, we have to stop. But I can feel that she's soaked. She starts grinding on me, rolling that ass as her words fall across my forehead. It's okay, she whispers. No one has to know. She starts dry humping me faster, her pants growing louder and heavier, and we're alone in here. It's dark, and no one has to know. Jordan, I gasp, the word tipping on its side with a fucking pleasure. Baby, we can't. What are you doing? I'm making it hard. Yeah, no shit. I jerk myself harder, heat flooding my groin and fire spreading from my stomach and thighs. She digs her nails into my shoulders and I squeeze her hips as she rides the hell out of me. Baby, you have to stop, I beg. God, I'm gonna come. But it feels good when it's hard. I shake my head, whispering against her lips. I'm not for you. Some other man's going to... We can't. I can't stop, she whimpers. Please don't make me stop. Her tits stand out at me and her hips roll in and out and she's the sexiest goddamn thing I've ever seen. Fuck, yes. Fine. I finally growl and fall back to the bed, still gripping her hips as the ridge of my cock rubs against her. Give your cunt what it wants. She mews. Closes her eyes and plants her hands back on my knees and takes what she wants from me. I squeeze my cock for dear life, feeling her jutting hips in my hands, And I shoot, jerking harder and harder as I spill. Oh, fuck, fuck, I yell. Shit. Oh, my God. I drop my head to the shower wall, the cum spilling out, and I slow my hands, the muscles burning as I release the rest. I see spots behind my eyes, but I can still smell her sweat, and I don't want it to be over. I want more. God damn it. I mouth, licking my lips and forcing a swallow. Shit. I want more. I can't remember the last time I came like that, but still, it wasn't enough. I take my hand off my cock and fist my fingers, aggravated. That was supposed to help, damn it. That was supposed to get her out of my system. I feel my dick start to warm again, and I push off the wall, growling. I hit the faucet hard, turning the hot water to cold and rinse off. I just need to fuck a real thing. Not her. Just someone else. I'll lock myself in my motel room with a box of condoms and get it out of my system. Yeah, that's what I'll do. This week, I'll get it done. I reach up to the rack and put my hand on my regular hook, grabbing for what I need to finish washing, but there's nothing there. It's been missing for days, in fact, and I furrow my brow looking around. Where the fuck is my loofah?
Chapter 17. Jordan. You made the taco dip, right? I nod, scrolling through my Instagram in the passenger seat. Yeah. And the bacon-wrapped jalapeno poppers? Pike asks. Yes, I hiss. You only asked me like 10 times. He's quiet for a moment, driving through a neighborhood not far from ours. I mean, his. Ours. I just like them is all, he says. A lazy smile tugs at my lips, and I feel a hint of pride. I love that he's not just nice about things. He actually truly likes what I contribute, whether it's a meal or a snack I'll leave on the counter for him after work, or the new rock pad I made for the backyard yesterday, which he loved. I'd had the idea after mudding and noticing how the hosing off made more mud, so I decided it would be fun to put a box of smooth stones by the hose, so now we can stand on that to hose off and keep our feet clean at the same time. It also drains the water exceptionally well, and it'll be handy when we go mudding again. It's been a week since that night, and 6 days since we had Kyle's kids over swimming. And I've tried to morph what happened between us into just some freak accident about me being on the rebound and vulnerable for attention or something. But it hasn't stopped what I've started to feel for him from growing. It's a crush. We're alone together too much, and it's understandable we'd form a bond. Hopefully, this block party potluck and getting out of the house and around other people will put things in perspective again. And it's not turkey bacon, right? He suddenly blurts out. Huh? On the poppers, he clarifies, and I can see him looking at me out of the corner of my eyes. Jesus, is he still thinking about the food? And you didn't sneak in anything weird like wheat germ, or use cauliflower instead of actual potatoes in the potato salad, like some of those low-carb bullshit diets call for, right? He goes on. I burst into laughter, letting my head fall back, my phone drop in my lap, and my eyes close. Oh my God. Jordan, I'm serious, he scolds. I've been looking forward to this all week. My body convulses as I shake my head at him and smile. He's so weird. And I'm amused he's craving the stuff I made so vehemently. I finish chuckling quietly and bury my nose in my phone again. Everything is fatty and savory and delicious, I tell him. Don't worry. I'm letting you have a cheat day today. You can clog your arteries until the cows come home. I feel him nod. Good. There's a brief pause and then he speaks up again. If you feel uncomfortable, though, let me know. I can take you home. I'll be fine, I reply. I talk to people all the time at work. I know how to make conversation. Dutch and his wife invited Pike, Cole, and me, but Cole said he had to work an extra shift today and couldn't make it. But as I'm scrolling my feed, I happen upon a shot of Patrick's Last Ditch, the super convenience store just outside of town, and I recognize Cole's car at the pump. It's his post. Heading out of town for the day, whoop. Working my ass. But it does seem unusually ambitious of him, taking a road trip on his day off. Surprisingly, I don't scan for Elena or any other girls who might be with him. But I do feel a pang of resentment that he's carrying on like I never existed. I mean, it's not like I'd answer the phone anyway, but it would be nice to know that he'd tried to call. To know he's at least concerned about how I'm doing. I guess dating each other ruined whatever friendship we had, too. I don't know why I care. My dad, my mom, my ex-boyfriends. There's something to be said for keeping your circle small, I guess. I have Cam and Shell. We turn on to Owens and immediately see the street ahead blocked off with a couple barricades. Pike swerves over to the right and parks along the curb. It's only a little after 2 in the afternoon, and while the party started a couple hours ago, Dutch's wife said it would go well into the night, so the kids could have some fun with the sparklers. We climb out and slowly stack the food in our arms, Pike taking his precious trays of poppers and taco dip, while I roll the small cooler with drinks inside and the potato salad propped on top. "Hey, man," Dutch says, heading for Pike with a beer in his hand, which is slipped inside of a koozie that reads, IP in pools. "Hey, Pike," someone else calls from inside the barricades. Pike nods at whomever, and I stop alongside them, Dutch casting me a smile. God knows what conclusions he's drawing as to why I'm here with Pike. Why I'm always with Pike. Not sure if he knows Cole and I broke up. A pretty woman with dark auburn hair comes up and takes the trays from Pike, leaning in to kiss him on the cheek. "How are you?" she asks, smiling up at him. He reaches down and takes the potato salad off the cooler for me. "Good, how are you?" "Oh, we're kicking it now," she jokes, leading the way into the party. "Although this one," she gestures to Dutch, "had to beer up every time he was forced to move one picnic table this morning." Pike chuckles, and I gather this is Dutch's wife. "This is Jordan," Pike introduces me. "Cole's, friend. He couldn't make it." I laugh to myself at his stammer. I guess it's a better explanation than, "This is Cole's ex-girlfriend who still lives with me and constantly argues with me, and I really hate her music, but look, taco dip." "I'm Teresa," she says, rolling her tongue over the R and looking over her shoulder at me with a smile. She gestures with my trays. "Are these cream cheese?" "Oh, yeah." "Yay," she sing-songs, leading us over to the tables of food. Everything is set up like a buffet, 3 long tables lined up together and filled with food. There are several coolers at the end, and the smell of charred hamburger hits the back of my throat and my mouth waters. Groups of people lounge on chairs in their yards or in the blocked-off street, and kids run everywhere, playing tag or rolling down the hills of some of the lawns. A few teenagers not much younger than me sit around, playing on their phones, while the adults laugh and talk, occasionally stopping to bark orders at one of their kids. It might not be technically summer yet, but the heat beats down and is only lessened by the sporadic cloud cover. It's a beautiful day. "Come on," Dutch says, nudging Pike. Pike glances at me, probably to make sure I'm all right, and finally sets the salad down before walking away. He trails off, shaking hands with some friends and twisting off the cap of a beer someone hands him. I shuffle next to Teresa as she places everything on the table. "How long have you and Dutch been married?" I ask. She sighs. 14 years. She looks over at me. "And 3 kids later, I still want to kill him every day. But he makes good spaghetti, so..." I snort. I'm sure she's just trying to be funny, because I doubt she can explain them. She looks pretty put together, while he's got on a flannel and shit kickers. "This looks so good," she says, removing the saran wrap. "Thank you for bringing so much. It won't last long." Just then, an arm comes between us, the hand swiping up 4 poppers by the toothpicks and stealing them away. I recognize the ink on the arm right away. Hey, I scold Pike, but I can't shake my smile. He peers down at me under heavy lids, looking entirely too sexy. Excuse me, he whispers and turns away, heading back to his friends. He glances back at me, smirking, and I cock an eyebrow at him. Should have known he'd be all scared they'd get eaten before he had a chance. I hear you and Cole are staying with Pike for a while, Teresa says. Yeah. I swing our cooler over with the others and grab a water bottle out of it. It seems paying for our own apartment was too adulty for us, I joke. She nods knowingly. Take your time. I wanted to get away from my parents so badly. And then when I found I had no money, because bills were way more responsibility than I bargained for, I ran back home. She picks up her solo cup and holds it up to her lips, gazing out at the guys. I'm glad Pike's got some company, though. That house is too big for one person. I take a drink of my water, following her gaze. I'd hate to think of Pike living in that house alone after I leave. He really should be sharing his life with someone. I know a few single women who wouldn't mind changing that if given the chance, I remark, thinking of April, my sister, and half the moms on our block who flirt with him when they pass his house on their jogs. Yeah, but he's a loner, she replies. I nod, smiling in agreement. Yeah, I'm starting to understand that. He wasn't always like that. She glances at me, taking a sip of her drink. He was a lot like Cole back in the day, partying, laughing, speeding, breaking rules. He even spent the night in jail once. My eyebrows dart up. Really? I turn my eyes back on him and watch him pull the baseball cap out of his back pocket and pull it over his light brown hair, the muscles of his tattooed arm bulging against his t-shirt. But then Cole was born, I say, guessing the story from there. Yeah, Teresa sighs, rocking left to right to the music playing from some speaker in one of the houses. Someone had to be the adult, and Lindsay... She trails off and then straightens, clearing her throat. I'm sorry, I don't mean to gossip. It's okay, I tell her. He certainly doesn't give up much. I've seen Cole's mom here and there, and it's hard to picture her with Pike. She's pretty ostentatious, and I feel like the Pike I know would get whiplash trying to keep up with her. At least, I know from what Cole has told me that it didn't last long between his parents. And if he didn't have some of the same mannerisms as his father, I'd wonder if Pike was sure Cole was his son. She's had at least 4 boyfriends whom I've seen in the past couple of years. Teresa exhales a breath and lowers her voice. Pike is proof that we learn when we're forced to, and maturity is more the result of experience than age, she tells me. He was the only 20-year-old I knew working 2 jobs without even a second thought to all the friends he was losing because he could never hang out. I look over at her, suddenly wanting to know it all. I want any insight into who he was before I knew him. All of his friends were buying hot cars, she continues. But he's been driving his dad's old pickup ever since I've known him. It was never a sacrifice to him. And there was never any question about taking care of Cole. It takes conviction to do what you know you're supposed to do regardless of what you want. Her words hit me, and I let my gaze drop. Conviction to do what you know you're supposed to do. And I suddenly feel like shit. He wanted me the other night. And if it weren't for Cole, I have no doubt we would have slept together. But Cole is there, between us, and we can't change that. Not ever. It's wrong. And no matter how much I want him, he would only hate himself afterward. His son will always be more important than anything else. He's a good man, she says. Then she turns to put a serving spoon in the salad and open the chips for the taco dip, and I stand there, feeling like a truck is headed for me, but I can't move. He is a good man. I can't ruin that. I suddenly feel like I need to get out of here. Pike's not my family, and as natural as it feels to be where he is, it's on borrowed time. Over the next couple of hours, I keep my distance from Pike. Teresa gives me a tour of her house. I sit with her and a few others, eating and talking, although I don't say much. And one of Dutch's kids wrangles me into dodgeball in someone's driveway. I help kids light sparklers, although it's not yet dark, and help Teresa take empty tins to the garbage and clean up soda cans and water bottles. I'm not sure if Pike is paying me any mind, because I haven't looked at him to check his whereabouts, but once in a while, I feel the back of my neck get warm, or a tingle spread up my spine. "Oh, hey, Jordan," someone says, hopping over my legs, about to trip. "Didn't see you there." He laughs, and I look over from where I lay on the grass to see Carter Hewitt smiling over his shoulder at me. Another guy and girl stand around him, but I don't remember their names, even though we all graduated together. Carter and I were supposed to go tubing today, but he canceled due to this block party his parents asked him to be here for. Luckily, too, because I was having a hard time talking myself into not canceling. I didn't want to let Pike win that argument, but he was right. Tubing is an excuse to get drunk, and I wasn't in the mood. I sit up and dust the grass off my arms that I was using for a pillow to watch the stars start to come out. "Hey, what are you guys doing?" I ask.
"Anything but this," he sighs. "There's a shitload of people at the A&W. Wanna come? I'll buy you a float."
I chuckle under my breath and stand up. That actually sounds really good. "I haven't been there in so long," I remark. "Why not? Let me just tell my ride." He and his friends head to their cars up the street, and I jog over to the lawn chairs full of guys in the center of the road. Pike sits with his back to me, while Dutch lounges next to him with his wife on his lap, and a few others around the circle I recognize from Pike's poker games. "Hey," I say, coming up to Pike's side. "Some friends are heading to the A&W. Root beer floats and that. They invited me to come." I'm not asking permission, but it kind of comes out like that. He doesn't look at me, just tips up his bottle of beer and takes a sip.
"Root beer float," he repeats sternly. "What are you, 5? Jerk.
"No," I say, "but that's how you like to treat me sometimes." Dutch laughs quietly next to him, but speaks up in my defense.
"Hey, I still love floats, man."
I roll my eyes at Pike and look to Teresa, smiling. "Thank you so much for having me," I tell her. "This was nice." "Thanks for coming, sweetheart, and thanks for the food."
"How are you getting home?"
Pike interjects, still avoiding my eyes.
"I'll bring her."
I look over to see Carter stepping up next to us, and Pike turns his head just a hair to see him before turning away again. I lift the corner of my mouth in a little smirk and bend down, speaking a few inches from his ear. "Do I have a curfew?" Dutch snorts, and I see a little snarl flare on Pike's mouth before it disappears.
"Have fun," he says tightly.
I stand up again and turn, following Carter to his truck, as amusement lightens my mood again. Pike is jealous. And while I don't want to be thinking about him, I really like knowing he's trying not to think about me. How much of what he wants is he hiding or burying or trying to suppress? What does it look like when he doesn't control himself anymore? "Oh my God, did you hear about Jillian?" Selena Gardner gestures to another girl, intermittently chewing on the end of a straw. "She tells Dean and Matt that one of them is the father. They go to get paternity tests, and neither one of them is the dad," she laughs.
"Oh my God," the other girl's eyes bug out.
"Shit, does she even know whose it is?"
"Who cares?"
Selena furrows her brow, leaning back on the car again.
"I'd be more concerned about catching something other than a baby. I don't leave the house without condoms anymore. You never know when you're gonna need them. Like, really."
Everyone laughs, and I fake a half-smile in an effort not to be awkward. But I'm sure I am, since I have barely said 2 words in the last 10 minutes. We got to the A&W an hour ago, and as expected, the place is full of teenagers and families with truck beds full of kids.
The moonlight and crickets compete with all the headlights and car stereos, and the smell of charbroiled burgers and hot asphalt fills the air as engines rev and car doors slam. There's not a single person here I've talked to more than twice since I graduated over a year ago. I love this, someone says to Selena, reaching over and handling her small Louis Vuitton purse. Where'd you get it? Isn't it cute? Selena lifts the strap over her head, showing the girl the purse. I feel kind of bad. I owe my dad so much money, but I just had to have it. I drop my eyes to the purse, equal amounts jealous and aggravated. Sure, I'd love a purse like that. And I'd love to have her problems where she can mooch off family, because that's what family's for when you're 19. Part of me wishes I could ever be like that. But even after I finish school, I'll be so strapped with student loans, frivolities like designer handbags will still be a long shot. And strangely enough, I'm okay with that. I'd rather have a decent car, a house, the ability to pay all of my bills in the same month. Selena and I are living through completely different problems, and I relate to her even less now than I did in high school. I'm sure the feeling is mutual. Without making up some excuse to escape, I just turn and walk toward the side of the building, digging out my cell phone. Hey, Jordan, you okay? I hear Carter call. I turn my head, seeing him stand with some others, and I nod. Once I reach somewhere slightly quieter, I dial Cam and hold the phone to my ear, tossing my empty cup in the trash can. Hey, she chirps, knowing it's me. Hey, I say, her voice instantly soothing me. Are you working? Can you come and get me? I am working, she tells me, but I can split for a half hour. Where are you? Is everything okay? I notice music in the background and realize she's at work. Yeah, everything's fine. I tuck my hair behind my ear. I'm at the A&W. I just want to go home. Home. I pause every time I say it, knowing full well it's not really my home, but it feels weird to say Pike's house or Cole's dad's house, too. After I hang up with Cam, I hit the bathroom first and then let Carter know I'm catching a ride home. There's momentary disappointment, but I'm pretty sure it's because he's lost his hookup for the night. Although, I'm not sure how he thought I would be anyway, especially after ignoring me to talk about cars, and then being all too happy to let me get wrangled into catching up with a bunch of girls I never did any catching up with before, even in high school. It's not that there's really anything wrong with Carter or Selena or anyone else here, but when they talk, you can tell they have nice things, like money in their pockets, and their moms. They have this lightness to their voices where you can hear that they haven't been evicted from an apartment before, or are trying to decide if they should trade in their smartphones for a flip phone because it's cheaper. I'm different from them, and I always have been. Being here tonight just brings those feelings back. The feelings I hated having in high school. And when I'm around Pike, I knit my brow thinking. When I'm around him, I'm in my element, I guess. And more than anything right now, I just want to go home, or wherever he is. Cam arrives in less than 15 minutes, and I climb into her car, not protesting as she speeds through town toward Pike's neighborhood. Her boss is lenient, but the longer she's away, the more money she loses, so I let her rush. Thank you, I tell her. Sorry to pull you away. She's in a thigh-length black coat, tied at the waist, and I'm pretty sure she's not dressed in much underneath, just slipped something on to walk through the parking lot without getting molested. You sure you're okay? She asks again. I grab the dash with one hand as she makes a sharp right. Yeah. Everything going fine with the dad? She glances over at me. You know you can come to my place anytime. You're welcome to stay. I know. Nothing is wrong. In fact, I'm now realizing everything that's right, and it's not at the A&W. I know what I want, and I know why it can't be with Pike. I just need to find someone exactly like him. I clutch the root beer float I bought for him as a gag as my sister winds through the streets and finally pulls up in front of Pike's house. I groan, my stomach still somersaulting.
Thank you.
I climb out of the car, hooking my wallet on my wrist and closing the door.
Is that April Lester's car?
Cam asks through the open window. I turn my head, seeing a red Mazda Miata convertible parked behind Pike's truck, and my stomach sinks. What the fuck? It's late. I dart my eyes to the house and see that it's dark, no lights on anywhere. What would they be doing in there with no lights on? A lump swells in my throat, and I feel like I'm going to throw up.
She's probably selling Girl Scout cookies, Cam jokes.
But I'm seething. It's not cookie season.
Oh, honey, for some of us, that's always cookie season.
And I turn to my sister, who makes a V with her fingers in front of her mouth and sticks her tongue between the two fingers, wiggling it. I push off the door, mumbling, "Bite me." But she just laughs, kicking her car into gear.
Good luck!
It takes two tries to swallow as I look up to the house. What is she doing here? What is she doing in there? Yes, it's his house, and to my knowledge, he hasn't hooked up with anyone since I came here weeks ago. He's young, single, he has every right to bring women home. But it doesn't stop my heart from beating a mile a minute or my stomach from hurting. I'm here. Couldn't he go to her house instead or to a motel? I walk up the steps to the front porch, my heart pulsing in my ears, and turn the knob, but it's locked. Pike almost always leaves the door unlocked for me, even if I'm at work until 2 in the morning. I try to keep the float stable in my left hand as I dig in my shorts for the key. Pulling it out, I unlock the door, dread weighing me down as I open it. If I walk in on them doing something, I'm not sure I won't burst into tears or start screaming. Please don't, Pike. Please don't do this. I step into the house, softly closing the door behind me and locking it. I look around the dark living room, and my ears perk at the silence, listening for anything that will confirm my worst fears. Slowly trailing into the kitchen, I see my candy apple candle lit on the table, its soft glow brightening the darkness. I didn't light it, though. I clench my teeth. Was he going for ambiance or something? I look out the window over the sink and into the backyard, seeing the pool lit up, but no one out there. Walking back for the living room, I head toward the stairs, but then I hear muffled laughing and I stop. Heading for the basement door, I gently twist the knob and quietly pull open the door, immediately hearing their clear voices.
I want to hit the black one, April whines.
Black one is last,
Pike explains, his voice deeper and more playful than usual.
You put it in a pocket now, you lose the game.
What do I get if I win?
What do you want?
She laughs softly, and I hear shuffling. I can't see them as they're around the corner at the pool table, but she's doing something, and I squeeze the doorknob in frustration. And then I hear his hushed, low voice.
I think that's if I win,
he answers to whatever she's doing, and I can hear the smile in his voice.
Mm-hmm,
she moans, and my eyes go round, not sure if she's doing something to him or he's doing something to her. What the hell? Is he serious? How long have they been here already? He knew I could be home any time. I'm a kid, for crying out loud. How am I supposed to get schoolwork done and sleep if they're going to go at it all night? And this is what he was planning, I'm sure. If they wanted to play pool, they could have gone to the queue. He brought her here for sex. I march back through the kitchen and into the laundry room, ripping open the washer door and dumping the root beer float into the bin, paper cup and all. I slam the lid shut again and start the machine, and then tear open the dryer door, pulling out his shit and slamming that door too. If he wants to treat me like a kid, then here we go. I jog up the stairs and swing into my bedroom, turning on my boombox and blaring Bad Medicine as I slip off my day clothes and pull on a pair of sleep shorts and a half t-shirt. Grabbing the handle of the tape player, I saunter back downstairs to the kitchen table and slide into a chair in front of the latest landscaping model I'm working on for school, with the music still booming beside me. It's barely 10 seconds before I hear Pike's heavy footfalls on the basement stairs, and I tense my jaw, bracing myself. He walks into the kitchen and comes right up to the table, hitting the stop eject button on my player. The house immediately falls silent, and I pop my head up, feigning an innocent look on my face.
"Oh, I'm sorry," I say. "I didn't think anyone was here."
Pike stands up straight, pinning me with a look that says I'm a terrible liar.
"Hey, Jordan."
April enters the kitchen from behind him.
"How are you?"
I give a tight smile.
"Fine."
And then I return my attention to my model, messing with some fake grass. Pike is still staring down at me, and there's a long, awkward silence as April probably tries to figure out what's happening now.
"I'll head out," she finally says.
Pike hesitates a moment, and I can see his fist tighten around the chair on the other side of the table, but I won't meet his eyes. I know I just acted like a brat, and I'm a little embarrassed, especially since I didn't fool him, but
he could have taken her anywhere. He brought her here in hopes I'd see them together.
He walks her out, and I can't hear the few muffled words they exchange. But as soon as the door closes, and I hear the lock click, I exhale. She's gone. He walks back into the kitchen to the fridge, and I notice he's still wearing the navy blue t-shirt and jeans from earlier with his work boots still on. He's not the slightest bit undressed, so that's a good sign.
"Sorry if that was awkward," he tells me, pulling out a soda. "We actually just got here ourselves. She stopped by to..."
"It's your house. I don't care,"
I tell him, faking concentration on my task.
"Do what you want."
"Are you sure?"
he asks, amusement in his tone. "You were slamming the washer and dryer doors and blaring music at 10 at night. You seem irritable." I shake my head, shrugging.
"Of course not. I wouldn't expect you to change your lifestyle just because I'm here. Go for it."
He's silent, and I can see him out of the corner of my eye just standing there a moment. I feel bad that I'm now elated he's going to bed alone. I want him to have someone to love him and make him feel good. But not her. And not anyone else, actually. I'm falling for him. I want him to have me. And he's so stubborn. He pulled that tonight just to prove how much he doesn't want me.
"But I did think you'd have some damn taste for crying out loud,"
I remark, gluing on more grass under the fake tree.
"Excuse me?"
I look up. "Did you know she broke up Marcus Weathers' marriage?" I asked him. "She hangs around the bar, waiting to see who's going to take her home on any given night. And she's not picky. Married, taken, whatever."
"Good thing I'm not taken then," he fires back. "There's no problem."
I lower my eyes and recap the glue, realizing I lost that round. "You can do better," I finally mumble. It's not that I hate April. I didn't care what she did to whose marriage before. It takes two to tango, doesn't it? And Marcus Weathers was also to blame. But I care now that it's hitting too close to home. Pike is taken.
"What business is it of yours?"
he challenges, walking back over to the table.
"I'm a grown-ass man who's been having sex since before you were born. I'm used to getting it whenever I like. And I don't answer to you, you hear me?"
His words bite, and I feel small.
"I'll keep doing whatever I want, regardless of the opinions of some kid living under my roof."
The word kid hits me like a hammer, and my heart sinks. I grind my teeth, twisting the hurt into anger.
"Got it."
I look up at him.
"I'll go to my room then."
I rise from my seat, and his eyes immediately drop to my bare stomach. The t-shirt falls well above my belly button, and I revel in the way his body freezes and he has to tear his eyes away. I circle back around the table, toward the living room, but remember the candle burning. Turning back, I make a show of leaning across the oval table, arching my back, and feeling my shorts sink lower to expose the red strap of the same thong I wore when we made out in the yard a week ago. "Forgot about the candle," I say, raising my heated eyes to him. "But I can leave it burning if you want. I know the red's your favorite." Red candle or red thong? Doesn't take more than one guess to tell which one his attention is on. He swallows, his timid eyes glancing at the red silk peeking out. I quirk a smile and his eyes dart to mine, thinning.
"You're pissing me off more by the second."
His raspy growl sounds dangerous.
"You ruined my night, and I've still got a lot of steam to blow off, so tread carefully."
I close my eyes, making a wish, and blow out the candle before standing up straight again. "This kid is the reason you have so much steam to blow off, isn't it?" I taunt. "You're such a liar." He squares his shoulders, breathing hard.
"Go to your room, Jordan."
Happily, I back away, teasing him. "I have a vibrator up there with bigger balls than you." He rushes me and lifts me up, tossing me over his shoulder, and I grunt as the air is forced out of me and his shoulder digs into my stomach. What the hell? He pounds up the stairs, and I feel like I'm going to fall the higher we get. "Pike, stop it!" I yell.
"Then stop pushing me!"
he bellows, and a slap lands on my ass. I yelp, the burn spreading across my left cheek. Son of a... I reach back and try to cover my behind in case he spanks me again. It sounds like he kicks open my bedroom door, and the next thing I know, I'm flying off his shoulder and crashing back onto my bed. My elbows dig into the mattress, and my head jerks forward, my hair flying into my face.
"Now go to bed," he barks.
I blow the hair out of my eyes and see him walking out. "Tuck me in?" I see him drop his head, and he's breathing so hard, like he's almost out of fuel. He turns, calming his voice just a hair.
"What the hell has gotten into you tonight?"
Is he kidding? I shoot off the bed and stand in front of him. "You brought her here, that's what."
"It's my house!"
I shake my head. "She won't satisfy you," I tell him. "She's not what you want."
"So you're jealous?"
I lower my voice, approaching him. "You have everything you need in this house. There's no reason to look elsewhere for..." I drop my head, suddenly a little embarrassed. "For anything you need," I tell him. "I'm all he needs." His chest rises and falls in front of my eyes, and I inhale his scent that's unique to only him. Sun, wood, and the faint fragrances of his body wash, shampoo, and the tide his clothes have been washed in. He smells like a hot summer night, and how I wish my first time had gone, and I soak it up while I can because any minute he's going to storm off.
"So you had a little tantrum on purpose then,"
he says, not really asking.
"Because you wanted to be the one in my bed tonight?"
I dart my eyes up, narrowing them. "Because you invited her over to hurt me. But I know your game, and you'll be the one who loses," I retort. I close the inch between us, my shirt brushing his. His chin drops as he looks down at me, and my heart pounds against my chest. "Because even if she stayed, and she rode you to Kingdom Come all night long," I tell him, "you'll still wake up thinking about me before you even remember she's in bed next to you." His breathing grows heavier, and I can see him weakening. I continue. "You'll be wondering what I'm doing in my bed alone, if I'm awake and warm, or..." I push up on my toes and hover my mouth over his jaw as I whisper. "If I'm touching myself and dreaming about you coming in and eating me out through my panties." He sucks in a breath, closing his eyes, and I can feel him get hard through his jeans.
Jordan, please,
he begs, sounding desperate.
Fuck.
I try to keep my smile to myself, but I'm so happy. I know he wants me. I hook my fingers on the waist of his jeans, nudging his chin with my nose to taunt him.
I know you want to, I whisper again. You want to grab me so bad.
I stay right there, up on him, but I take my hands off him and slide my fingers into my own waistband instead, gently and slowly slipping off my shorts. They fall down to my feet, and I fist my fingers, my body so alive with fear and desire and need.
Look at me. Touch me.
I'm dying to taste you, I tell him, and to feel you. Every day it's getting harder and harder to ignore what my body wants. I wake up, so wet, Pike. I move my mouth over to his, layering our lips.
I want you to want me. I want to see you wanting me and getting off on me.
I can feel the slickness between my legs, and his breath is so hot. I lower myself to my feet, but keep my eyes on his.
I love how you worry about me and want to protect me, I say. But a girl has needs too, and eventually, I'll have to find another man who can do your job better.
Rage burns behind his frozen stare, but he doesn't blink.
Another man will kiss me, I breathe out, and take off my clothes and go at me in his bed, in his shower, and spread me wide over breakfast on his kitchen table.
Pike's lips are almost twisted in a snarl, and he's breathing hard, in and out as he glares down at me. It's there. I can feel him. It's like we're wrapped up together, the heat between us almost suffocating, and all he has to do is reach out and pull me into his arms.
Take me.
I wait.
I'm yours. Just reach out and take me.
But he doesn't. He just stands there, and tears burn at the backs of my eyes as he hovers, unmoving, unwilling. My heart is breaking. I shake my head.
You don't have a clue what to do with me, do you?
I scoff and push away from him, but then suddenly, he grabs my arms, hauling me back to him. I gasp as he puts his hands under my arms and lifts me off my feet, bringing me face to face with him like I'm 5 years old.
Oh, I may be out of practice, little girl, he bites out in a threatening tone. But I think I'll figure it out.
And he brings me in, kissing me and stealing my breath so hard, all I can do is wrap my legs around him and hold on. Fuck yes.
Chapter 18. Pike. God damn her. God damn it, I'm not stopping. Fuck it, I can't. She just kept pushing and pushing, hitting all my buttons. Everything she knew would bring me to this, and I wanted her to. In the back of my mind, I always knew I couldn't not have her. I grab her ass in my hands and drop us down to her bed. She unlocks her legs and straddles me, our lips never breaking contact. I love her mouth, hot and sweet, and she teases me with that tongue, flicking and brushing in ways that drive me insane. I hated feeling like that, she pants. Like what? I run my hands all over her, gripping and squeezing as she breathes over my mouth and grinds on me, making me painfully hard. Jealous, she says. It takes me a moment to remember we were fighting about April being here. Slipping my hand up her shirt, I take her breast in my palm, and she lets out a little gasp. I groan at finally having her in my hand. I know, I say, When you left the party with that little shit tonight, I was so pissed. I bite her bottom lip between kisses. Like I was fucking 17 again and someone else was taking what was mine. My cock swells and God, I can't stop touching her. She's so damn beautiful. Her smooth skin and mussed hair. The little triangle of red fabric between her legs where I can already see she was lying about being turned on. She's wet and I'm fucking starved to taste her. Another man to do my job better. Bullshit. I brush the hair out of her face as she grinds on me and we hold each other's eyes. Hers say everything I'm feeling and we're both falling. Damn it. What do you see in me, girl? I ask, shaking my head. I couldn't keep a 19-year-old woman happy when I was 19. Does she think I can do it now? You have no idea, do you? She cups my face, kissing me. When we first met and we watched that movie together at the theater, I felt so guilty. She kisses me again. Because when you mentioned the poltergeist showing, I was tempted because I wanted to see you again. She confesses. There was something there even then. I sink into her mouth, kissing her long and deep as I wrap an arm around her body and press her into me. Curling my fingers around the silk at her hip, I feel an urge to bury myself inside her right now. But no. To her, I'll end up being a fling. But I'm gonna make damn sure it's the best one she ever has. I kiss her neck, sucking and nibbling all the way up to her chin and running my thumbs over her hard little nipples. Pike, she pleads. Please tell me you have condoms. I nod, coming back to her mouth. In my room. More than one, right? I smile. Yeah. Go get him. I wrap my arms around her and stand up, taking her with me. I have a better idea. She locks her ankles behind my back and I carry her out of her room and down the hall to mine. We need a bigger bed. She doesn't stop kissing me the whole time and I almost close my eyes with the pleasure because I don't think I've ever felt this damn good. She's going to spoil me so much that no one else will ever do again. We enter my room and I kick the door shut behind us, lowering her to the bed. But when I pull away from her and rise, she protests. No. I back up toward the door, watching her, finally having her on my bed, and I feel like I just won the fucking lottery. Reaching behind me, I lock the door and stare at her, the moonlight streaming through the window, lighting her up. She's sitting with her knees bent and her hands planted behind her, propping herself up. Her lips are swollen from the kissing, and I'm already imagining her naked between my sheets. God, you're so sweet. I say under my breath. A coy smile plays on her lips. I'm really not. I arch a brow at her challenge. So what do you like then? What do you do? Such a little shit. Crossing back over to the bed, I lean down over her and fist her panties in my hand. You said you wanted me to eat something, I remind her. What do you want my mouth on? She drops her eyes, staring at my lips. She swallows and caresses her inner thigh, moving her hand up to the V. Down here. And what's down there? I play with her, staying just out of reach every time she moves in for a kiss. Use your adult words, Jordan. What do you want me to kiss? She stammers, turned on and dying for it. My... She comes in from my mouth again, but I pull away, making her bare her teeth in a quiet little growl. Yes?
My cunt,
she whispers. My eyebrows shoot up, surprised. I wasn't expecting that word, actually, but okay.
I want you to kiss and suck on it.
She breathes out, begging.
Make me come?
And I squeeze my eyes shut for a moment, my dick fighting against my jeans for room to grow. Fuck. Anything you want. Tightening my hand around her panties, I yank and rip them off. The fabric tears clean away and I throw them across the room as she sucks in a breath. And then I throw my own shirt off and dive down, taking her pretty pussy in my mouth.
Pike, she whimpers, clutching my head to her body and falling back on the bed. Jesus, I'm fucking high. I've wanted this for so long and I finally have her, legs spread on my bed, body begging for me. I suck on her clit first, stretching it into my